The following audio was recorded at the Pacific School Leadership Institute, which was held October 21 and 22, 2021, at Waits Lake Open Bible Camp near Valley, Washington.
Topic has probably been the longest topic I ever studied for, the longest I've ever studied for a topic, in that I think I've had 2 years to study. So I'm not sure why I did most of the work this morning, but that's the story of my life. Intentional board functions. I looked up that word intentional, not because I'm a wordsmith in any way, but because I thought it would be kind of interesting. And the word means done on purpose or deliberate. And I've heard people tell stories about preventative maintenance in plants before. Well, in our plant sometimes they call it PM. They do PM, preventative maintenance. Well, we say sometimes at our place we do PMs. They're post-mortems. So that's the opposite of intentional. That's. Well, this morning I'd like to start with some words out of the Bible, and I'm going to read to you. Therefore I urge you, brothers, on account of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but think of yourself with sober judgment, according to the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and not all members have the same function, so in Christ we, who are many, are one body, and each member belongs to one another. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If one's gift is prophecy, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is giving, let him give generously. If it is leading, let him lead with diligence. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. I want to especially pick out in the middle of what I read and build out from there. It says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but think of yourself with sober judgment. At first when I read this, as I've thought through life, I wondered why God didn't add in here, and don't think too low of yourself. I have friends, and I'm sure you do too, who seems like every other sentence, you know, I'm just kind of useless, and I'm dumb, and I don't have much to offer. And you always wish, well, why don't they just have a little better view of themselves? And somewhere along the line, I picked up through sermons or somewhere, somebody made a really good argument that, you know, if you're too down on yourself, it's actually a form of pride. Because humility is truly accepting yourself truly how you actually are. And if you are competent and have everyone is God designed here. Everyone is smart, complicated, capable of doing something. And to not acknowledge that is actually a form of pride. So where I'm going with that is, I don't think the Bible needs them both in there, because there isn't thinking too low of yourself. You only think too high of yourself, so think with sober judgment. And so for a minute, I want you to imagine with me a window. If we look into our bodies, we know there's many complicated pieces, but I'm going to pick out four of them. I'm going to pick out the skeleton, the muscle, the brain, and the heart. And for this talk this morning, I'll just give you a minute to digest it and think, which part, what are you? What are you more like? Are you more like, in your worldview, do you tend to be more of a skeleton, more of a structure person, that things have to fit into something that the structure. You like organization. You like it to. You like tradition. You like things to be expectable, normal. Or are you a little more muscle, where you like to get things done? You know, sometimes these rules are kind of in the way of progress. Let's move the rule over. Let's get it done. Or maybe you're the brain. You like to, you're thinking about, well, how are we actually getting this performance done? How are we, what's it take to actually make the heartbeat, make the eyes blink? You know, what is it? Or are you the heart? You care. You're pumping the blood to everybody. You really care about people. Your interest is not so, you're not so worried about, you know, where they are structurally or if they're getting things done, but you really do care about people as people. So just for a minute, take that. What are you? And in a class this size, I'm confident whether we do the work right or not, we would have some of all four. We really would, and I thought it was brought out so beautiful last night. You know, is the engine or is the transmission more important? It's whichever one is missing is what's most important, actually. Okay, so now we have all these four parts in our brain, in the front part of our brain here. A school board, a board, is an acknowledgement that we're not complete. We don't have the answer for the problem inside ourselves. And, you know, the disclaimer of this talk is, I think I truly am the least qualified person to sit on a board. My brain is very quick. I'm very competent. I arrive at answers fast. And I have a history of, you know, of making good decisions somewhat, and so I tend to see the problem and go for it. And then I spend a lot of time catching everybody up to what I see as the answer. Unfortunately, I make very serious mistakes. And at one point in my life, we were building a hay press, and it was a big project, cost many, many thousands of dollars. And somewhere along the project line, I missed, we take big hay bales, stick them into a press, and we press them, and it was a new idea, and we were pressing whole big bales at once. And I was front on line with it. We had an engineering firm out of Eugene doing the work, and I led the project. And the whole project was on my shoulders. And I missed a dimension of a hay bale by an inch and a half, which was across the top to bottom dimension of the bale. And reality is, when we turned the machine on, the hay would not go through the press. And I spent the next several weeks, you know, got in that press myself, and since so much pressure was on, you know, I unpulled that bale, I pulled hay out of that press by hand at 3 in the morning for more than one day in a row to try to make that thing out. But my point is, I missed it. I made a serious mistake. And that was a very important life lesson to me. So being who I am and being what I am, I have had to learn and to compensate, and I'm learning. I have a window into what it's like when people have taken the time to get all the engineers involved and listen, and everybody has looked at it. And the first time you start the machine, you have had the dimensions right. And that is a challenge to me. So that's my disclaimer. I feel like in a board, I have had to learn to listen a lot, because and that's not easy for me. That's one of the hardest parts for me. Having said that, I have personally been on the school board, a lot. I have adopted 10 children, and I think people just think that I should be on the school board to help with the problem that Gene and I created, and so I spent a lot of time there. And I have a lot of stories. I've had a lot of view into a lot of families. Early on, when I first was on the school board, there was a family that came to our school, and the mother had passed away, and the dad was trying to raise us alone, and he was a big family, but they were from the community, and he came to our church and wondered if we would teach the children. And there was, I don't remember, maybe 8 children, 9 children, and they were pretty close together, so it was a big group of children come to school. And he wasn't an Anabaptist. He was a community person. He would have claimed to be a Christian, but, you know, as time went on, there were some serious questions about that. But at the time, we sat down and came before the church, and the church was like, well, you know, that touched all of our hearts, and I think rightly so. And we were, well, what do we do with this situation? And I remember David Gingrich, who's passed away, a lot of you know him. I remember him saying at the meeting, he said, all you bleeding hearts are going to have to understand that this is going to be messy, and they should have to fit into the rules right away. And you can see what he was pushing back on. We were trying to bring a group into our school that didn't, we were trying to lower the bar to get these children into the school. And we overrode them, and we took them into our school. But after the story was all told, I've come to the conclusion that, you know, he had a real point. And I wish we would have listened to it, because I think at the time, right at the gate, is the best time. That's your first and very best time to explain to people what Naomi told to Ruth, that, you know, we are really strange people, and it's going to be really hard for you to fit in, and you may as well just not try. And it probably is better if Orpha goes back right then, because it takes a lot of commitment to fitting into our communities. Well, I say all that to say, I think the assignment I've been given is, how do we make interesting, intentional board functions? How do we make boards work? So what can we take away from here? I think one is, the very first one is, what is our vision of a school? What is our school? Are we a community school? Are we a private school that's open to for business? Or are we really just a juiced up homeschool that has, you know, about 5 dads have agreed to hire this teacher to teach our children that are of sort of the same age? And David Berkey really helped me with this one. If we're going to be a private school and open it up for business, we probably need to face it that way, and then hire a principal, hire a school nurse, be ready with resources, you know, for the messy situations where abuse and everything's happening, because it is in our world around us, and be there with the financial backing and the structure to do that project. And if we do it that way, we can probably have a measure of success. But if we're going to just be a homeschool where we hire a teacher from back east, you know, we interview, do a phone interview with them over the phone, and they come out September 7th, and we give them the keys, so to speak, and they're going to teach our children, we're going to have to, it's going to have to be different than a private school, because, you know, really at best that's just somebody in our home, away from home at the school, so to speak. which I think most of us represented here this morning are actually, that's what we are. We are in our school there in Culver, that's what we are. We're just basically an extension of our families at school. And purposely we have, it's somewhat of an opportunity for our girls and boys to do some VS, to actually do something for community that's outside of themselves. It's an opportunity. And it's by design. We didn't default into it. It's a good opportunity, actually. And it's a necessary opportunity. I remember I have the fortune of marrying a teacher who is a very capable teacher, good teacher, and she homeschooled some of our children. And I remember one time in a situation where the teacher wasn't doing her job. And at a board meeting, I said, well, we'll just homeschool ours for the rest of the year. Maybe it was Ariana that was in that class that time. We'll just homeschool her for this year. And one of my fellow board members told me, well, that's easy for you to say. Well, what about the rest of us who aren't married to good teachers and our wives can't handle it? You need to stay with us through this and actually help us come to a resolution. Which I did, and I thought it was a good point. It was an epiphany moment for me to realize that part of what we're doing as a community and as a church, we're covering for each other. So some of our people are teachers. It says right here, some are teachers. Some aren't. And the teachers are supposed to cover for the ones who aren't, right? That's the gift in the body of Christ. So if we just selfishly take advantage of that maybe gift that we have, it does short-circuit the beauty of what we're trying to accomplish. So it was good for me to hear. Okay, in a school board meeting, practically speaking, I thought of several stories. One story that I thought of, and I'm going to try to have some school board meetings here this morning as we go along, and try to do them in real time. And so I'm going to have some of you be a teacher this morning. I'll take volunteers if you want to, and then we'll put you in sort of groups of, you know, three or four, one of you being the chairman group and one of you being the secretary group, and we'll try to workshop and solve some problems together, because I think the actionable item here today is, okay, this is all good and well, but how do I go home and actually have a productive school board meeting, right? I think that's the question here. So we're gonna try to do that this morning. I have three stories that I'm going to talk about, and then we'll work through each one. So the first story was with a ninth grader. This boy came to school. He was the first part of his school life was homeschooled. He comes from a family that they weren't raised Mennonite, so a non-church family, but a very conservative Christian family. And he comes from that family, so he's been homeschooled, so he's a little bit, he starts out right from the get-go, just a little bit socially, you know, challenged. He's not picked for volleyball, he struggles a little bit on that thing. Well, he gets into ninth grade, and he's pretty smart academically, he's doing pretty good academically, and he gets into, if I remember right, it was algebra. And they get a ways into algebra, and he turns every math class, they come to math class, and he starts taking the teacher on in every math class, and he'll pick a problem that the teacher's working on, and he'll just write in the teacher's face in some detail of the problem, and like, the teacher's wrong, and, you know, he's smart enough that, you know, at least a couple of the times he actually backed the teacher into a corner, which the teacher in this case happened to be pretty good with him, and he was He was good in his own skin, and he was comfortable letting this happen to a point, but it's getting worse and worse. Well, so the teacher talks to the parents, and the story comes out of the parent's mouth. Well, this child has Asperger's. If I tell enough details, I suppose you'll know who I'm talking about, but that's okay, I guess. So this child has Asperger's, and part of Asperger's is they're not really aware of surroundings. They'll just come right up into your circle, and they'll get right in your face, and part of it, they're not keying in on social cues. One of the problems is he's not keying in. He doesn't know how he's kind of stuck back. Sixth grade, he doesn't see all these eyes looking at him and realize, well, do I have my shirt on? He's not thinking of himself. He hasn't moved into that sphere and getting the social cues. And hence, you just have to let him talk in math class. Like, if you bring the binders on to this guy and discipline him, you're not acknowledging that he's got a special needs, and you're a bunch of meanies. I mean, you, the teacher, are a meanie. And so now the bar gets raised, right? And so we're going to workshop that in a little bit. You, the school board, are going to help me decide what the school board should do in this situation. Okay, the next situation is we have a teacher, and this teacher is maybe teaching the middle room, and it just, and the teacher's maybe not quite as capable and skillful as what you thought they were in the interview, or in the interview you decided, it's close enough to September 1, we're just going to roll with this. And unfortunately, this teacher has the bad fortune of getting some very smart, very confident, very aggressive third and fourth grade boys and girls. And it's just a run and gun battle. I mean, every day. Now the teacher's being a favorite. Now he let her go out for recess, and he's not letting me in. He lied. He said, there's just about some truth to it. You go there, and unfortunately, the teacher is, he's kind of landmining you, because he isn't as skillful as he could be. Well, so you, what are you going to do? I have, they say avoid the use of always and never. So, I try to avoid it. But I have never went to a parent yet with a concern about a child where I didn't get some pushback. And, three of my sisters are married to bishops, so I hang out a lot with bishops. So I can say it this way, from the bishop to me, it's all the way across from, even Jason Schrock, who's probably the best person I know at just taking flack from everybody. If you go talk to him about his children, that you get some flare back. You would like to think in some abstract way that, maybe that's wrong. I'm going to submit to you, I think that's actually how God intended it to be, and I think it's right and good. I think we should get pushback from the parents. And so having said that, when you go to talk to the parents, you're going to have, if it's about their child, you are going to have some blowback. So here's a little Johnny and Susie are in third and fourth grade, and they are children of your peers, but they are being a problem. And it's a little bit of a challenge because the teacher is also part of the problem. So I would like, we'll workshop that problem a little bit too. And our last problem is, so in our school, I don't know how you all do, but in our school, the tradition is some nights of the week, the teachers all meet in the dining hall and they chat and they do stuff. And it after about 3:30 or to 4 o'clock, they have what they call a little faculty meeting. And so if you're on the school board, you can drift through there on that day and you can kind of keep abreast on current events. So I wind up drifting through the school board, through this faculty meeting one evening, and the chicken house is all in an uproar, and the first grade teacher is having a problem, and she's got her friend, and they both come at me, and so little Johnny is in school, and it was going good. We're probably 4 to 6 weeks into the school year. He was doing really good in reading. He can do his flashcards on ABCs. You know, he's got the letters down. He's doing good. But now it's time to put C and H together. He cannot make the ch sound. And you know, this curriculum that we got, they're just throwing all these ch's and sh's and th's at him so fast. He's just not getting it. We got to change from CLE, we got to get to BSR. Because BSR doesn't throw, they just do it different and it's better. And the problem is this curriculum he's not going to be able to learn to read because he can't make the ch sound. It's throwing them for a problem. So those are the three problems that we want to work at as a school board. So we have to pick the school board here and a couple teachers. I need three teachers. So does anybody want to volunteer or do I pick teachers? Jonathan is volunteering and he's going to be a good one. Need two more teachers. Conrad, you want to be a teacher? Let's see who else wants to be a teacher. Who else has taught? Who else? You want to be a teacher in this situation? Okay, so Jonathan, you want to be the big room teacher, the first grade, or the middle school? Okay, all right. Well, you want to come up here with me and be the teacher, because I'm just going to facilitate the meeting. All right, so the three teachers, if you want to just come up here so I don't get you divided into the school board, and I'm just going to draw a line down here. Let's see. Vernon, why don't you move over one? Paul, move over one. And the school board's going to go down straight down here, and we'll divide behind my brother David there. So we're going to have, there's the three. So just so we understand, you guys are all on the one side. David and Lindsay from up here, you guys are all one, and you guys will be the secretary of the school board, okay? You guys can be the chairman over here, and you guys here can be the good advice. Everybody know what your job is now. So we got the chairman over here, and I'll forget, so help me remember. I'm got a terrible leaky brain. You guys are the secretaries, and you guys, so we're going to need, you secretaries are going to have to keep track of the details. We might need some of these details, because as we're interpreting reality as we go along here, I might forget some important details, try to build a press that's an inch too short with the very big problems. Okay, so the first thing I like to know when I'm coming to the school board meeting is, what's on the agenda? What are we going to be talking about? And that's why I told the stories first, just to get your brains a little bit in gear. Now, it would have been really nice if you'd have had more than 5 minutes, if you could have been working on this for a week. But you didn't, so now you're going to have to catch up a little bit here, but I'm trying to give you some time to be thinking about, well, what do you do with a student who has a condition like Asperger's that is acting disrespectfully and causing a problem in school? So essentially that's where we're going with it. And it's kind of a loaded situation because they come from a non-Mennonite family, so you have that whole dynamic there. Well, if we push back on them, are they going to just leave the church? What kind of pressures are we capable of putting on them? That whole dynamic's going along in the back of your head. You've got this, you've got the obvious, let's just put the pressure on for, make him conform, make him stop talking in math class, raise his hand, like fit in, like discipline. You've got the sort of the side of it, well, what if he really has a problem? What if this was my child? What do we do? Like, how do you actually deal with a learning disability? So you have these things, and if you can have it a week in advance, so you can maybe grab a book off the shelf or at least Google it so you know what that word means. Buy a book, page to the back, and see, well, what do the psychiatrists say that you should do with this kind of situation? At least come somewhat mentally prepared. I think it's really, really important, if we believe all this Bible things that we read this morning, that you come prepared to give some thoughts. Because you might be wrong, and if you say it wrong and hear you say it wrong, you will at least said something wrong that you can check off the box. That's the worst thing you can be is wrong. The best thing you can be is part of the solution. So there is no wrong answer coming to this school board meeting. There's wrong attitudes. There's wrong deliveries. It was illustrated so good this morning. There's coming to the school board meeting knowing the answer and just going to convince all you dear people, I have the answer this morning. Those are wrong attitudes, but it's important that you come with something to give. That's really important. You know the problem. You've known it now for 5 minutes. You're preparing your heart to give something to this situation. So now you come. You come to the school board meeting schedule, and you actually come to the school board meeting. You arrange your day, you drop what you can, you do. It doesn't always work, but for the most part, work will wait, be at the meeting. And so, and because this is actually the most important thing we do, raising our children. Everything else is second place. So give it that. Make it that part of your life. It's the most important thing. So now, as the team, the chairmen over here, have told us to be here, and here we are. So now we're going to come here and we're going to work on this problem together. So I've kind of laid it out here this morning, and so we're going to go with Jonathan. Jonathan, we're here this morning. The school board wants to reach into the situation. In this role of play acting, what's the first what do you identify with in this story? What part of it? Would you I know, but which part of being the teacher? What about this story do you want some help with?
Yeah, frustration. I mean, this is like really.
You can come up here if you want to.
Yeah, I can identify with the teacher. It's really wrecking my classroom, right? I mean, I'm supposed to be a teacher to all these students, and I'm only able to be a teacher to one student the entire math period. Again, it just seems like he's just like, takes over, and so I think that, you know, if he has this condition, maybe that actually makes it very clear that we need to reach for the eject button, because I can't bring all this together. I mean, you don't ask for a one-legged individual to play volleyball. So we're asking for, you know, we're expectations that, you know, he really can't match. And so I'm trying to appear frustrated. We need answers. I mean, tomorrow is hardly soon enough. Thanks.
Okay. Do you have any questions for Jonathan about the situation? What could we get? So the first thing we need to do is really, truly understand every detail of the problem before we can come to a solution, right? I think the speaker this morning laid it out so well. So what do we need to do to find out the details we need to know to come up with an action item for Jonathan? What do we need to know? You ready for an action item by 9 o'clock tomorrow morning? What do we think? Does everybody know what Asperger's is? Can you research it by 9 o'clock tomorrow night and give an honest opinion on what might be something for Jonathan to do?
Spell it.
Me? I didn't, you know, the day they taught it in school, I wasn't there.
Researching it, I guess.
Exactly. We've got a problem, Jonathan. We don't know how to spell it. Can you come help us spell the problem? Do you believe that this is the problem, that he has an actual social learning disability?
It kind of sort of makes sense, but either way, the results are the same. I mean, whether we have a label for it or not is kind of inconsequential.
So it's not, there's not somewhat of a sense of relief to you to have a diagnosis and know that this is what the child might be facing?
Yeah, if we can trust the diagnosis, you know.
What do we need to do to trust the diagnosis? Okay, so what he's saying is, so Jonathan just said it does help him if he can trust the diagnosis. So I think he's a little bit on the fence here whether or not he trusts the diagnosis. Do you guys trust the diagnosis? If there's a ninth grader, you know, he's come all the way, he's in ninth grade, and now he's just making it really hard for the teacher in math class. Do you guys think that he suddenly has a problem? Good point. So can I just say how he's doing the rest of classes? You want to? So he does actually have a little problem. In recess, he often plays by himself. It is actually kind of hard for him to integrate in recess. He tends to be kind of a loner. And then he does sort of some self-destructive things because I think he does feel kind of lonely. So yeah, it does in the rest of his life, there is some signs that there's a problem. Okay, good question. That's a really good question. How did we get to a situation where at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, the teacher's quitting? And you know, we don't even know how to spell the problem that is supposedly on the table. Good point. Excellent point. Have we been involved? Or has this problem just suddenly blown up? I think the takeaway there is obvious. Be involved enough to know before you've got a fully engulfed fire that there's... We're heading into some rough water here. The sooner you know, the better you can go there. We're already out of time. Any more questions? Any more thoughts? So the mother read the book and decided that he had the symptoms. Which I read the book and thought I had all the symptoms too. And maybe I do. It explains a lot, right, Gene?
Now I understand.
That's one common thing with Asperger's syndrome. It's generally self-diagnosed.
Very good. Okay. Well, So we can see how, I mean, it's kind of coming clear here a little bit. We need all these people to come into the room, and we need them all, though, to get their head around it and then come up with an actual, honest solution for them. Well, if we're out of time, I do want to go over one point yet on. Go ahead, Lindy.
I have an interruption here. This is just like our school board meetings where, I'm sorry, we're out of time.
Yeah. Yeah, and 9 o'clock tomorrow morning is coming. Go ahead.
You fellows are farmers, and you know you can't get that John Deere to go into Pioneer or whatever. You can't get the hydraulic phases to go yet. You got the option of getting your pickup going to town fixing the problem. We teachers don't. We're downstream from your out of time issue.
So the truth of the matter here is, as groups of a school board meeting, we've kind of taken the time and a lot of time here, figuring out the problem, working at figuring out the problem, and then we have to come back, and with a solution. I'm just going to jump to the last one here because it illustrates my point, maybe the best of all. So this little boy, that can't make the th sounds. The teachers say, are blaming the curriculum, right? Which my analogy for curriculum problems are like somebody coming to me and saying, you can't go to town in a Ford. Now, I know that if you really have, you know, all things together, you will buy a Chevy, but you can get to town in a Ford. And all of them will work for function. So when a teacher comes with that kind of a problem, it's not the curriculum. The curriculum is just the tool. Now, they do have some different features that make it easier. I think we should have, my bias is we should have Anabaptist curriculum in our school. I think there's just as much justification for taking your boys hunting with an AK-47 as there is for taking having a Becca in your schoolroom. That's my personal plug. But this little boy has a problem and he can't make the sounds. Well, what's on your flashcards? Well, the flashcards on A, B, C, D, they all have like A, apple. There's a picture with all of them. So the first thing you think, well, does the child have dyslexia? Is he seeing the pictures, but when it comes to putting it together, he's a problem? Is that, so let's test that. Let's see if he has dyslexia. Is it a hearing problem? Does the child have a hearing problem? Is he, like, because there is some problem if somebody can't put t and h together and make th, there's some problem, right? Is it a hearing problem? Is he getting fed at home? You know, God forbid, is there some kind of abuse going on? What's going on? This is an opportunity for you to learn something. In this particular story, there was a lot of stress in the home. Terrible much stress. There was a bunch of issues going on. The lunches weren't being made right. There was a lot of issues. And because of experience and having been down this road so many times, we got to the answer a lot sooner. The first time it happened to us, it was a little girl, and the teacher was trying to teach. I think, you know, there was a time as I was on the school board, we went from BSR to rod and staff, then back to BSR, and then to CLE in the scope you know, we were just jumping back and forth. The first time I got right on board with it, yeah, well, it's the curriculum's problem. The second time, I was like, really, it's the curriculum problem? By now, I'm just pretty solid. It's not the curriculum's problem, because we've tried them all, and they with no difference. So this little, but that time, this little girl struggled her way all the way through first grade, did first grade again. We drug her into second grade. She just wasn't getting anywhere. Finally, none of the curriculum changes weren't working. Took her to an eye doctor, and she had astigmatism in her eyes. Got her glasses, and she said, what on earth? These letters aren't jumping around all over the board. It took us 2 years to get there. She had a real problem. We weren't following through to find the problem. So those are the kind of stories that I think, what do we do as school? How do we be intentional about our school board meetings? Well, we realize that, you know, we have a responsibility to be there and search till we find what the problem is. If it is curriculum, okay. Be open to it. I'm open to it might be curriculum. I'm really hesitant. But it might be. Whatever the problem is, let's search till we find the problem, and then let's do something about it. Let's go get a hearing test. Let's go get an eye test. Let's go visit the house and see, well, does he or she have a bedroom? Is there, you know, what is going on? Why are they coming to school hungry? What's going on? Find it out. And, you know, in the case of the little boy, the teacher actually, you know, took this little boy, set him on her knee, and taught him to read on her knee. And, you know, just was that mentor covered for him, and he can read today. It's a good story. So, you know, those are the kind of things that where we want to go to. Any more thoughts? Questions quickly. Okay, well, thank you for your time.